May I inject myself, my own personality, into this discussion for a moment? I grew up as a so-called radical, an avant-gardist. I, by accident, was drawn into the circle of the enfant terribles of music in the early 20s, Schoenberg, Berg, Webern, and I believed in it very strongly, and I loved the music, and I understood the music, at least I thought I did. Now, when it comes to today's compositions, I find myself also being a former radical or a former avant-gardist that I just can't keep up when it comes to certain forms and shapes. Then I get lost, and I unfortunately become very stubborn and say, well, that's not music. I hate to say it because I know I'm making a mistake, but inside I feel that way. And probably Casals feels that way and he has the courage to say it. I haven't got the courage to say it because I'm not a big enough man, maybe.
In one word, the only interest that they have is to do something that nobody else has done before. You see? Those composers want to be alone. I have done that. Nobody has done that before me. You see? This is not natural. He must say what he feels, if he can feel something.
I have an idea beginning to form in my mind, which is that he is very concerned with a lot of things which happened in the 20th century, like the First World War, the Spanish Civil War, World War II, at which the scale of brutality became greater than it ever had been before in history. And at the same time, there was a dehumanization going on because of industrialization and many other things which would take people away from their roots, roots in the soil of their land, which Casals feels very strongly himself. And it would perhaps abstract people from the emotional life which they had lived in earlier centuries. And maybe Casals feels that all of the art of the 20th century is somehow a reflection of this dehumanizing or de-emotionalizing tendency. He probably sees 20th century music, like Schoenberg and other serial composers, as over-intellectualized.
Well, I and have known Schoenberg.
If he believes in the perfectibility in man, as far as the future is concerned, he must feel that there will be an age, hopefully, when man will recover some of that primal emotion
there
which
was
he has lost
something
in this century.
To add,
and it seems
to
as though
music,
that might be happening
or to
now.
Change.
More lyricism coming back.
And he was not himself.
I don't know, but I just think of spaceships
he was
and
another,
computers.
Another who?
The prospect seems dimmer and dimmer.
Wanted to experience
even in
something.
His young years, was he interested in new music and playing new works?
The name
mostly
of Schoenberg was...
Well, I think he was interested in certain
great
new
and
works.
Respected.
He speaks of certain composers who... He says have been greatly neglected, like
Emanuel
Mohr,
Francis Tovey.
Those experiences.
Yeah, Francis Tovey.
Many
perhaps
people
who admired
him. Now, those people were composing at the time that he lived. I don't know if their music was forward-looking or backward-looking or just neutral.
Well, the music we consider now classics of the early 20th century were written when he was a young man.
I can think of an analogy.
He must be right. He is right. He must be right. And they follow the same thing.
Musicians who specialize in contemporary music now speak spitefully of Toscanini, that man who didn't like 20th century music.
Nobody has done. They want to be
in his earlier years, Toscanini was, I think, the first to do Pelléas et Mélisande in
Italy. They have arrived.
And many other works at the turn of the century which were revolutionary for that time. And if his taste changed later in the century, that's because he was getting older.
There are few people who, as they get older, are interested in the new works and the works of the young.
I was talking about history in a very linear way, but history is also cyclical. If you look at music history,
it's terrible to see where we are.
The 15th centuries, I think, was very complex structurally, and
nobody,
people who feel they have to justify 20th century music,
dares
to
write
But I don't think that
what
Casals is really conversant with music of that time.
Really,
so, for him, music history probably starts at a certain time as much as it ends at a certain time.
You know, I remember one example in Marlboro. And
because
the orchestra just finished
they
rehearsing,
don't like to be
primitive. There was a chamber music group.
Well,
that
it must
was
be
going
more
to play one of
complicated.
The Bartok quartets.
You see?
Something like that. I'm not mistaken.
He's a liar.
And he just was there sitting with his wife backstage, and the
they
group
lie.
Started rehearsing. And he just got
they
up
lie.
On the chair and he said, "I am leaving." He just grabbed his wife by the arm and they just got into the car and left. I say, oh my God, he's gonna have a heart attack. But then the next day, after the orchestra finished playing in the concert, he sat through the whole thing.
Hmm.
And he congratulated the musicians when they finished playing.
Unpredictable man.
Yes.
Well, perhaps he respected the performance they were giving. I remember he was listening to one contemporary work last summer, and he said, "This is something, but it is not music."
Just a question of time. I think it's a question to a considerable extent of the condition of society at a particular time. I'm now expressing a personal view. I'm not expressing Casals' point of view. Casals, I think, believes that a time will return when what he talks about as the great music of the classicists will come back. I cannot speak for him in terms of the exact nature of the manner in which he thinks it will return. I can say, if I were to paraphrase one thing he would say, that it will have to come back in terms that can be understood, that can be really comprehended by the multitude of men, and in terms that will enrich their lives. That I can say.
Once, I think it was in a newspaper article, I read it, that I don't like it, this type of music, and if I don't like it, it can't be good. Now, that's a very strong statement, I would say almost an arrogant statement, but, you know, he was perfectly honest when he said that, and he is very convinced when he hears something and he does not like it, that it cannot possibly be good because it offends his ears. I understand it perfectly well, although I don't agree.